Thank you, Brother Allen, Sister Judy. Now, Brother Harry is just going to tiptoe over the mountaintops. So we're going to leave this half hour to him and to the direction of the Lord. Lord bless you, brother.
Well, dear brethren, it's a real privilege to be able to be standing up here and have the opportunity to recount the blessings that the Lord has given us. When you go to a restaurant and you get done with a meal, you go up to the cash register and they say, "Well, how was everything?" It was pretty good, and et cetera. But if a couple hours, you're going to need to eat again. You're going to be hungry. And they may have spilled something on you or this or that. But when the Lord prepares the the menu and has his servants serve it up to us, everything is wonderful. So that's how we feel. I really appreciate having a convention on the Memorial Weekend. The St. Louis Convention was always a Memorial Weekend every year. Memorial Day is tomorrow, where the world, this nation, they'll be honoring their dead. You'll see the president laying wreaths at various graves and whatnot. And they'll honor their dead and they'll hold out their thanks, but they can hold out no hope for them whatsoever because they have no foundation of faith upon which to believe anything about those who are in the grave, except they know that their bodies are still in those graves. And yet, even though they have various diversions, they're going to have lots of entertainment. The Indy 500 is tomorrow. They're trying to get their minds off of these things. We have been privileged to know the solution. Here it is, right here. No more death, sorrow, crying, pain. And behold, I make all things new. We've been privileged to talk about these things all weekend. Now, as far as what the world can see, I can give you a convention review by a newspaper reporter in Brother Russell's day. And what he said was, after being at a week-long convention, he said, from the worldly standpoint, I never saw so many people so happy about nothing. And it was, as was brought out, he can't see these things. The world can't see these things. They're only seen in the holy. And that's covered by sheepskin, goatskin, badger skin. It's within this court. And we're inside. The gold's reflecting everything. The world can't see a thing. They can't see a thing. And how blessed we are. Well, this is meant to be a convention echo. So last night, as we were, between the episodes with the kitty, we were looking at the dictionary. A convention is an assembly. And here we are. We're an assembly. And we looked up the word echo, and it says the repetition of a sound by reflection. So, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, hear the sounds that we're going to reflect. And we want to repeat these not only right now, but again and again in our hearts and our minds in the weeks to come. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Here we are speaking one to another. And the Lord hearkened. In other words, he's here. He knows about it. And heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. Before him, that's where it's being written, in heaven, before our Heavenly Father. And it was written for them that reverenced the Lord and thought upon his name. And that's what we're doing here. What a privilege this is. Well, I was also thinking about conventions because, in fact, Brother Don mentioned that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And we may think, well, here's the convention, but there is the main convention, and there are a lot of little conventions. There's a lot of little fellowship at the dinner table. Two or three brethren get together, and they have a special little convention. They have a special conversation that's just for them. Just for them. And this is all provided by the Lord. These are the things that we'll be reviewing, not just the services, but the special fellowship. And as I said to Brother Robert Long, I hadn't seen him in a little while, and I said, well, our relationship and the truth is just one long conversation. It's always the same topic. It's always the old story. We don't want to talk about any of this junk in the world unless it's affecting the truth in some way. We want to talk about what is nearest and dearest to our heart, the treasure that our Lord has placed in our heart. Now, the services that we enjoyed, they're only about an hour long. The panel was 2 hours. But even though you have a talk that's about 1 hour long, it evokes thoughts. You know, the brethren can mention something, and they say a word or two or a phrase, and evokes just a whole huge area of thought, beautiful pictures and lessons the Heavenly Father has given to us. So even though the talk may only last an hour, the thoughts that it evokes hundreds of hours of study and beautiful blessings and experiences that we've had. And so the talk may touch on this one thread of truth, but that's interwoven into this beautiful tapestry of God's plan. And all of this beauty comes to mind. So when we reflect, you know, since I was asked to do the reflecting, some of these beauties and the things that have been said, they've brought things to mind as well, which we may have a little time to share. Now, whenever I go to a convention and one has been asked to serve, there's really one main thing I want to see in that service. One main thing. I want to see that the one providing the service loves the truth. And if they say nothing that if I've just heard that exact talk before, but if I see that love of the truth, I get a rich blessing. And that's what I've seen in abundance from everybody who served us in this convention. The love of the truth. So when we go through a few of the lessons we had, standing at the mark, the first thing I saw was the idea of keep our eyes on the prize. Keep the eyes on the prize. Now the world would say, you know, keep your eye on the ball. That's where the game is. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the mark for the prize of the high calling. That is really the goal. Because the prize, the divine nature, this is simply the expression of the perfect character on the divine plane, but it's that perfection of character that is really the mark. That's really the most important reward. That perfection of character, it's also going to be expressed on the divine plane, so we can do the most with it. So that makes it a real blessing. Well, how can we keep our eyes on the prize? I mean, wouldn't that be presumptuous to say, well, you know, we got this prize, the ultimate prize would be the divine nature? That may seem presumptuous to some. Do I want to be so bold as to do that, to claim that? Well, we have the exceeding great and precious promises. And one thing that I gained from listening to many, and we want to make abundantly clear, is that in our consecration covenant, those exceeding great and precious promises were given to us. In Leviticus 8, the picture of the covenant, the ram of consecration, the wave offering, there are three things that went on there. The wafer, unleavened cake, the cake mingled with oil, and the wafer. The wafer pictures the exceeding great and precious promises. Who put it there? God did. He wants us to claim that. He put it there. That's the covenant he made with us. He wants us to claim it. And never they lay that down. Those things went on top of the wave offering. You might think, well, that make it a little heavier. No. If those three things did not go on, we couldn't wave it. We couldn't hold it. Because that's 24/7. So this is a wonderful thing. Claim those promises. Makes me think of what Sister Pam has said many times. The crown stops here. Don't let that crown go to anyone else. It is not presumptuous to claim those promises. Those are yours. So realize it. God himself gave them to you because he wants you to say, they are mine. They are mine. Of course, in order to go through our course, we have the four quarter marks: duty, love of righteousness, the brethren, love of enemies. Now, it seems that the first three are simple. You know, because who would not want to do those things? That's why we're all here. We have the love of the brethren. We feel an obligation to do this, but it's the love of righteousness and the Heavenly Father. This love of enemies. We have this wonderful opportunity to have ourselves tested, to remain faithful under trial. And we will develop this love of the enemies. We are ambassadors in a hostile land. We have enemies around us. In fact, sometimes we have the opportunity where somebody actually comes up to you and says, I want you to know I am your enemy. I am going to try to destroy you. We've had that in our personal experience. So the Lord says, here's this wonderful opportunity. You must find it within yourself to love your enemies. And you're going to find it in yourself because my Spirit is going to be placed in you. So we can do this. He has promised us that we can all do this. And this is a wonderful opportunity we have. We're these ambassadors in the hostile land. We're the epistles of Christ, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. We're known and read of all men. As Brother Don said, people at work, they see us all the time. And they're measuring us all the time. Make no mistake about that. And we have an opportunity to be an epistle of Christ. It's a wonderful opportunity that the Lord has given us. Now, we're going to have many shortcomings, and it's very necessary to claim the merit of Christ for all those shortcomings. Now, some may have a difficulty doing this, but we can ask ourselves one question. Will God accept the blood of His own Son as full satisfaction for all our shortcomings? Of course He will. This is the blood of His own Son. The only question we have to ask is, will we accept it? God certainly values it. Will we accept it? That's why it's there, the merit of Christ. Read through Psalm 103. You'll see about God's mercy. We have to be consecrated 100% of the time, 24/7, 365. How can we do this? Well, Brother Dunn mentioned to us, we keep feeding the new creature. That will ensure the death of the flesh. That's simple. Keep feeding the new creature. It'll ensure the death of the flesh. And when that flesh is finally fully sacrificed, the new creature will be told, come up higher. In our panel in Ephesians, I got a tremendous blessing from that. Talked about the enemies of the new creation, the armor, the privilege of prayer. We learned about the adversary, the wiles of the devil, the methods, the machinations, the schemes. He's trying to entrap everybody. And seeing the Apostle Paul was really focusing on the wiles of the adversary. And I was saying to myself, well, what about in the fifth volume where the first, in the foes and deceptions of the new creation, the first sentence is, the chiefest amongst the foe of the new creation is the old man. And yet the Apostle Paul is talking about the adversary. What's going on here? Well, it's very simple. The only way the adversary can entangle our flesh is if he can get to the old man. If he can get a rise out of the old man, he can drag that goat right off the altar. So if we keep our flesh dead, then he can't entice us, he can't tempt us, and he is powerless. How do we keep the flesh dead? All the tools our Heavenly Father has given us. Now, he would like us, he wants to fight against us so that we'll fight back. And he'd like to say, hey, come on, take a punch at me. In fact, here, I'll give you the gloves. I'll give you the weapons. Here, use my weapons. They work really great. Go ahead, take a swing at me. Go ahead, right now. Because he knows as soon as we use his weapons, we're on the road to defeat. But our weapons are not, of our warfare, are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's not an easy thing to fight in this manner. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. But we're empowered to do these things because we are given the weapons of our warfare by our Lord who fought this same fight. So how do we do this? Well, the whole armor of God, which we talked about, truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God. And I especially appreciated the sandals of preparation of the gospel of peace. It's not the sandals of the gospel of peace, but it's the preparation. There's work, there's preparation. Many would say, hey, show me the foe, I'm ready to go out and fight. But are you ready to prepare to fight? Are you ready to prepare to fight? That's really where the battle is, in the preparation. this breastplate of righteousness, justification, our Lord's merit. I appreciate that being brought out as our last line of defense. Again, read Psalm 103. The Heavenly Father has not dealt with us according to our iniquities. He's merciful to us. He's given us the covering of our Lord's merit. Read 1 John 1 and 2 and how valuable that is. This is not a chastisement. It's so that our joy would be full. And again, it's frontal armor. We're to be strong and of good courage. We're supposed to fight in offensive warfare. And we fight, I appreciate very much as brought out, we fight not only for ourselves, but for our brethren. Brethren, there's this enemy standing before you right now. It's my flesh. And there are enemies all around in this room. It's your flesh. Well, we have a duty. I have a duty to battle my flesh for my own good, and I have a duty to battle my flesh for the good of all my brethren. I can't let this wild dog get off of the leash. I have to keep my flesh under. But we've been given the means to do this. And when the adversary is permitted to test us, it's really a wonderful thing. He finds the chinks in our armor for us, so we know where we've messed up, we know where we have to work. So this is a wonderful privilege. The word mystery was brought out as the open secret, which I thought, I just got a real special blessing. This mystery, the open secret, is open but it's secret. I mean, if you have the ear to hear, it's just open as it can be. If you don't, it's completely a secret. The Apostle Paul was called an ambassador in bonds or chains. Well, keep in mind that also three times he called himself the prisoner of Christ. Christ owns him. Christ owns us. We don't ever want to be free of that beautiful relationship. We're the prisoner of Christ, and yet we have the truth which makes us freer than any other people in the world. And yet we're the prisoners of Christ. We're in those same chains. We don't ever want to break them. We talked about the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And actually, we also sang the Wayworn, well, most of you sang the Wayworn Pilgrim. Some of us have a little problem with that. But actually, we sang it twice. I don't know if you realize that. We sang it once from the hymnal and once in going through the beautiful experiences of the Apostle Paul. Here's this Wayworn Pilgrim, faithful, looking for that deliverance, never giving up. One thing I appreciate about his experiences was adversity brought clarity. You know, when you have adversity, when the Lord permits adversity, that's a wonderful thing because all your decisions become very easy. You know what's important. When you have tremendous adversity in your life, you don't have to, you know, worry about, well, am I going to have a Coke or, you know, an iced tea or, man, who can, this is not important. When your very existence is being threatened, when your spiritual existence is being threatened, you can make decisions very easily. Because you know, all of a sudden, everything that's not important is gone in your mind. It's wiped away, and the things that are most important to your life, that's what you focus on. And the idea that the epistles, most of the epistles were written because of opposition to Paul's ministry, opposition to the Word of God, opposition to the gospel. So he rose up and he said, here's what's important. Here's what you have to know. So he used this armor. Now Paul, according to the flesh, he was one of the most gifted men in the world at that time. And I'm sure he had to use this armor to keep his own flesh under and fight tremendously. I'm sure that was a big temptation that the adversary wanted to use, but it kept his flesh under, it kept his body under, it counted all of these difficulties as loss and dross that he might win Christ. We had Bethels, Peniels, and Ebenezers. Bethel, the house of God, the place of worship. We should all have the Bethel. Peniel, face to face. Who can behold his face? Well, those who God favors. I was also thinking of the Isaiah 52:7-8. They shall see eye to eye. But that actually, another translation says, they shall see him face to face when the Lord returns. So we'll see him so clearly at his return, which 1874, it's as though it's face to face. Here are these wonderful blessings. Ebenezer, stones of help, remembrancers of God's providences, moments of victory over the world, the flesh, and the adversary. And really, whether they're failures or whether they're victories, the fact that these have been brought to our attention by God's overrulings, here's a wonderful thing to remember. I personally have, you know, a piece of a broken water pump, a few stones on top of my, a few little doodads. I mean, it's absolute trash to anybody else. But to me, it's priceless, because it reminds me of these wonderful experiences the Lord overruled for us. 1 John 3:14, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. The fact that we have to learn what love is. Natural man cannot love the brethren. Can't do it. Can't communicate with them. Don't know who they are. As Brother Rod had mentioned, what if you started talking about the Holy of the Tabernacle to the world? And if we go out and they say, what did you do this weekend? So, oh, we had a great time. We were in this hotel all weekend. These folks flew in from, 50 folks. We cloistered ourselves in this one room. We talked about the Bible for 2 days straight. They go, you're kidding. Were you nuts? No, we just had a wonderful... They don't see it. They don't comprehend it. But we do. Because we've learned how to love. We've learned how to love righteousness, how to love the truth, our Heavenly Father, how to love our brethren, and we're learning how to love our enemies. And we will all get it right. Because the Lord is we're in this race course, in this training course to get it right. And He's certainly going to give us the lessons we need. This knowledge of the Holy, these are essentially our credentials. You talk to somebody and you know pretty quickly where they are. Are they in? Are they aren't? Or are they in the Holy? Or are they, they've kind of wandered in the wrong room by mistake. But these are our credentials. And who gave them to us? Our Heavenly Father Himself said, I want you to have these credentials. I want you to have this knowledge. I want you to have this armor. So we see God through His plan. And another thing I appreciated was never give up was mentioned here. And it reminds me of the crown stops here. We're not going to say, well, I'm tired. I'll let it roll over to somebody else. No. That is not an option. Cast not away your confidence. Confidence. It has great recompense of reward. Confidence, trust, faith. All these things are together. And the faith is built on knowledge. You can't have faith in ignorance. You have to have faith in the knowledge which the Heavenly Father has given to us through a knowledge of His plan. And it rewards us according to our faith, not according to our works. We're very unprofitable servants. I mean, the amount of work we do, as was brought out, it's pitifully small. But the amount of faith we can have throughout the day, throughout our walk, is tremendous. And it made me think of this confidence or peace. That where do we get this? Well, the night of the memorial, the night of the Last Supper, Jesus bequeathed it as His last will and testament. He says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He has given us His peace. His knowledge and confidence in His Heavenly Father He has given to us, so we will have that same confidence in our Heavenly Father so that we can run successfully. We are to be faithful. This is the seed of Abraham. Those who are faithful. And again, we want to make sure we're on the right path. Well, how do you make sure you're on the right path? You follow the map. That's simple. You just follow the map. But the thing, but how can you follow the map unless you've been given the map? So the Heavenly Father says, here's the map. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to show you how to follow it. And if you go take a wrong turn here, I'll show you. I'll correct you. What a beautiful thing. And how do we know this is true? The exceeding great and precious promises, which include that great recompense of reward. This is part of the covenant we've entered into. He wants us to have these blessings. He wants us to be part of His family ultimately. And here's this wafer right again, the wafer right on the wave offering. He says, I want you to acknowledge these promises and claim them. We had a beautiful lesson on courage. We're to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Now notice this is not being foolhardy as the world would think. But this is the new creature looks at a situation. He notes the difficulties. He knows it's severe. He knows it's tough. But he doesn't stop. He goes forward in the faith in the Lord. Courage and faith, they're inextricably linked. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your works. No. Even your faith. That's what the Heavenly Father is valuing. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man may do unto me. And by faith, we seize these promises. We have to have the knowledge of God's plan, which He gives to us, so we can develop this faith. And I appreciate the fact that those who put on armor, they're expecting to fight. Or else, why would they have it on? And I was thinking of David in 2 Samuel 2:10. He was told, "The sword will never depart from your house." You may think, boy, that's a real, that's kind of a chastisement from the Father. No, this is a promise. This is very important because David pictured the church in the flesh, and we understand that we are going to be in this battle, this life and death battle, especially with our own flesh our entire lives long. And when we look at David fighting with Goliath, one thing was mentioned here. The battle is, it's our fight. No. The battle is the Lord's. When we fight our own flesh, the battle is the Lord's because we're part of His body. Christ's head and body. He wants these foes to be destroyed. The battle is the Lord's. We use the tools that He has given us and we fight and we will be victorious. I really appreciated the lessons of encouragement, to inspire with courage. Inspire means to breathe in. Satan wants to discourage us. Well, keep in mind that even Jesus needed encouragement. If we go back to the Garden of Gethsemane, the angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Now note the others were sleeping, and Brother Robert brought out to me that, if the others had been awake and they were watching and praying, they probably would have seen that angel and been strengthened as well, but they didn't. So when the test came, they failed. Before the Holy Spirit was given. But our Lord was strengthened. He was ready to go on in the faith of His Heavenly Father. And of course, this is a great paradox to the world because there's tremendous courage, but there's tremendous humility. They couldn't figure Jesus out. Very humble, and yet He is willing. He says, I lay my life down. No man take it from me. Finally, we had our testimony meeting. And I really appreciate the testimony meetings. The blessed be God, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. So we don't just say, hey, it'll be okay, don't worry. We say, I know it's going to be okay because I'm going to share what God has done in my life. And He's done it in my life so I can strengthen you. He's done it in your life so you can strengthen me. That's why we're all helping each other. We need each other. That's why we have these conventions. As again, we fight on behalf of each other. If you talk to soldiers on the battlefield in the trenches, there may be some big political reason. They don't care. They're fighting for their friends. They're fighting for the ones who are fighting for them. They have to stick together because it's a desperate struggle to the death. Brethren, our prayer is that strengthened from the words that were shared in the fellowship, we can take the whole armor of God that we may withstand this evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Thank you, Brother Harry. Indeed, you did tiptoe through the mountaintops, and what